Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail.
Hey, folks, and thanks for tuning in today. I am Chris Sorensen.
And I'm Angela Bozo, and we are your hosts.
And we're so grateful for all of you who've been with us over the past 3 years of the Buyer's Desk.
And a big welcome to those of you who just joined us this year as we shifted to shorter weekly episodes.
So today, we're digging into the archives to bring back some of our favorite conversations served up in that shorter format.
Thanks for listening, and keep tuning in each week for more stories and maybe even a few sneak peeks at season 4 coming in January 2026.
I'm excited to welcome Nicole Dawes, founder and CEO of Nixie Sparkling Water and founder of Late July, to the Buyer's Desk. Hey, Nicole, how are you doing today?
Great. I am so excited to be here. I think that you already know this, but I absolutely love working with Infra, everyone at Nixie does, and I'm just honestly flattered and honored that you invited me.
Yes, and we're excited for you to be here, and everyone at Infra absolutely loves working with you and your company, and we know about your love for Infra, and it makes total sense. With a mom who owned a natural food store and a father who owned a successful potato chip company, you grew up immersed in this industry. It seems like natural food and entrepreneurship is really in your DNA. So I just got to know, what was that upbringing like?
Well, one of my earliest memories is sitting on my mother's natural food store counter, begging her to let me eat a carob-covered rice cake as my like one sweet snack of the day. And honestly, you know, there was a lot of wonderful things about it. I really feel lucky to have had a mother that taught me so much about, you know, where food comes from and why it matters. I mean, there's a lot of things that I have like a negative Pavlovian reaction to seeing today. Adduki beans are one of them. I've never really acquired a taste for those. My mother was so intent on teaching me also how to cook macrobiotic that she, you know, one day told me she was so excited we were going to go to this mother-daughter summer camp. And I was like, oh, that sounds so much fun. This is great. You know, we never get to do these kind of things. But it was actually Cushy Institute macrobiotic cooking camp, and so we went up there and I got to learn about how to cook macrobiotic food. So, you know, there was a lot of wonderful parts of growing up with natural food as in my blood, and there were some other things that I learned. I looked at the products at my mother's natural food store back in the 70s, and it was just, you know, brown cardboard, like nothing was exciting. I mean, no one thinks about deliciousness when they think about those old 1970s natural food stores. And part of what I think you take the combination of a mother with a natural food store and a father with a potato chip company, you get me, which is somebody who wants to combine those two things. And, you know, I think early on, I realized that, you know, part of what my mission was going to be was to make sustainable, organic, natural foods exciting and delicious. And so actually I worked at my dad's potato chip company, and I tried to launch a line of organic potato chips way back before it was, you know, I even could. And that was the impetus for me starting Late July, actually.
Awesome. Well, that's really cool to hear about. You know, I think you've done a great job. I have Late July products all throughout my house. I am drinking a strawberry hibiscus Nixie right now. Which I can see you doing. But I want to know, what was the difference between Late July and Nixie, and that experience of starting that company up, you know, with your father and then going out on your own with Nixie?
Well, on one hand, it was significantly easier because I was able to bring a lot of my team from Late July into Nixie, which, I mean, you know, anybody who's run a business or had a business knows that your team and building the team is one of the most difficult things that you do. So, you know, being able to have a team that, you know, already knew each other, we worked together really closely. So we just, you know, that was a wonderful part of starting Nixie. However, we hit shelves about 2 months before the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously that was significantly more difficult. You know, if I, you know, if I had had a crystal ball and could have known what we were getting into, I mean, you know, who knows what I would have done. But I mean, launching and then having the entire country shut down, I mean, on top of dealing with what all of our retail partners were struggling with, you know, you had supply chain challenges unlike things you've ever, never seen in my lifetime.
Right.
You know, the one thing about it that I tell myself in hindsight, you know, we had all sorts of problems at Late July. I mean, just giant problems starting out. I mean, you know, things that, I mean, we'd have to do a whole separate podcast to talk about everything that went wrong at Late July.
I'll take you up on that.
Right. But the difference there was it was only happening to Late July. So whatever catastrophe we were dealing with, every other company in the country wasn't also dealing with it. Whereas during the pandemic, you know, we were all kind of in that boat together. You know, everybody was struggling. Everybody was dealing with the same challenges. So there was a lot more empathy, I think, that we all had for each other. So even though, I mean, it was definitely incredibly challenging starting a company during a pandemic, but there was a real sense of community and, you know, people really genuinely cared about what everyone was experiencing. So it was kind of nice because we weren't alone. So despite the fact that it was obviously difficult, there was that kind of carried us through, I think. Plus, we made the decision during that time to not pivot to direct-to-consumer and to focus on our retailers. Like, we never changed our strategy. And that's something I'm actually really proud of.
Well, and that's great to hear. And I know our members really appreciate that. So I want to go back to Late July a little bit, because Late July was one of the first brands to carry that USDA organic seal. And now I'm starting to hear you're saying there's some of the challenge you guys have run into. I'm wondering if being one of the first brands to have that seal might have added to some of those challenges. But what I'm really interested in, our last episode was around regenerative organic certified. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that. Like, is that a potential new gold standard?
You know, it's so interesting because, I mean, obviously I got into this line of work because I care about the environment. I care about climate change. I truly believe that sustainable food is the future. And we all have a responsibility to, like, make our grocery stores as sustainable as we possibly can. I mean, it's like what guides me every single day. But having been in this business for so long, and having struggled with awareness around the USDA organic seal, I mean, I served on the board of the Trade Association. Like, I've done, you know, I've been kind of on the front lines of this for a long time. My biggest concern is consumer confusion. Uh-huh. And, you know, I struggled when the non-GMO project seal came out because, you know, I was just trying to get people to understand what organic meant. And now I'm dealing with a whole nother type of certification that is, you know, just creating more confusion. And, you know, I struggle every day with people not even knowing the difference between natural and organic. And, you know, I mean, I've basically been doing this my entire conscious life, you know, between my mom's at the food store in Late July. And, you know, it's sometimes it can be a little disheartening because, you know, you're just having to do so much education all the time. So I think that, you know, there's no one on earth that's going to always, I mean, the brands obviously that are involved with regenerative organic, you know, some of the organic, the OG organic brands, Organic Valley, you know, I mean, these are the people who are every day wake up and try to do the right thing. They try to do right by the earth. They try to do right by humans and our consumption and animals. And I think that would be my only watch out is just how do we accomplish all of this and continue moving to a place that we all have the same goals, but without creating more consumer confusion on shelf and really building up the brands that are doing the right thing and kind of helping consumers understand, you know, how to take steps to make better choices and, you know, what the difference between all natural, organic, non-GMO, organic, regenerative organic, organic. I mean, I think that's my biggest, and I don't have the answer. Like, I do want that to be the gold standard, but I don't want it to be the gold standard at the expense of the USDA certified.
Agreed. Yeah, it's a complicated discussion, that's for sure. So yeah, you'll have to listen to our February episode because we get into that really deep. But I just wanted to bring that in since you were one of the first brands, you know, Late July carrying that organic seal. So Nixie is an interesting name. Actually, when I was working at the natural food store before coming to Infra, we brought in Nixie on the shelves right before the pandemic, like you mentioned. And I was like, wow, that's kind of an interesting name. And I know for me, you know, when I'm naming projects or naming my freelance business or any bands that I've been in, I do a deep dive into all different kinds of names, what it can mean. Wondering if you did the same for Nixie. Did you pick it because it sounds like your name, or are you really into Germanic mythology?
Well, actually both, but I go by Nikki. I mean, most of my close family and friends call me Nikki. And, you know, it's actually something my late father, like if I meet anybody who I don't know really well, but they call me Nikki and they're in the food business, it was probably somebody that my late father introduced me to. And that's why they're using that name. So it has a lot of, you know, I love nicknames, and I think it's a meaningful name for me, but I didn't want to name it after myself because that's not really my vibe per se.
Yeah.
And, you know, a Nixie, as you mentioned, is another name for a mermaid, a more mischievous mermaid who maybe doesn't have the best backstory. But I do love the connection that the word Nixie has to water. And, you know, it's so I think what I loved about the combination of both my nickname, Nikki, and this, you know, kind of fun sprite, little bit mischievous Nixie that exists in this folklore, you know, that sort of landed us in the perfect spot between, and you know, a memorable name that had meaning, but also, you know, was trademarkable and unique enough, and it kind of hit all those boxes for us.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love it. And that's, I think, the trick of coming up with a name is hitting all those boxes, not being too straightforward, but having that story behind it. Is super fun.
Yeah. And I grew up on the coast. So I mean, water is a very important part of my life. So I wanted some connection to that, especially given the fact that we are a sparkling water company.
Well, that's great. Finally, I want to know, with all that you've learned, and you've kind of alluded to this in an earlier question, what would you tell 2001 Nicole setting out? What advice would you give to an aspiring female entrepreneur looking to start their own business?
You know, I think one of the most important things that you can do is surround yourself with people you trust. And I think that extends to the investment partners that you take on, because, you know, there are going to be bumps in the road. And I mean, that's the only thing guaranteed about the entrepreneurial journey, that it is not going to be a smooth one. There are going to be, you know, whether it's a pandemic or, I mean, when I started late July, you know, there were, I mean, like I said, we definitely don't have time to go, but there were some real catastrophes that occurred in those early days. And so who you're partnering with to for your money. And if you're a mission-driven business, you know, you need to make sure that you're well-funded. Because there are going to be things that are more expensive. There are going to be choices that you make because they're better for the earth or, you know, humans or for, you know, that maybe are going to take longer to have a return on. And so you need investor partners that believe in your mission too, but that also believe in you. So, you know, that's one of the best pieces of advice that I think I would give my young self. And obviously I still tell myself today is, you know, when you're partnering with somebody, you know, you need to get to know them too. It's not just about, you know, where can you get this investment from? It's about who is the right partner. Because there's nothing that will hurt a female entrepreneur, mission-driven brand faster than the wrong partner. I think, you know, honestly, the one thing else I would say to my young self is, and this applies very directly to InfraStores, you know, when it comes to that, surround yourself with people you trust. That also applies to your retail partners. You know, really back the people who believe in you and who have a shared mission with you. And, you know, that's one of the reasons, like, I've always been so grateful throughout Late July and Nixie for our partnership with Infra, because, you know, we really do have the exact same goals. Like, we are all in this for the same reason. I mean, like, support the retailers that support you and believe in your mission.
That's so great. And we really appreciate your support as well. And it's definitely mutual. Well, thanks, Nicole, for your time today. It's been great getting to know you and having you on the show. Take care.
Thank you.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible Infra staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spin's segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.